live and took off before the rain and lightning and still got to see all the goals. Pro-ass move. It's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
Part-time supporter. Oof. Catch the go train. Beat the traffic.
Beat the traffic.
Whatever the reason was, like, yeah.
Raise your voice.
Whatever chant you want to go
there
with.
Was fucking
I was
lightning.
Just thinking your seeing into the future classes are really paying off, but...
I just would like to thank Hamilton putting the screws on Halifax. That made it so much easier. I'm like, I'm not, if it was a close game, sure, stick around. Why not? Let's find out. 4-0. Fuck that shit. I'm out. Let's go for wings, honey. And we did.
Hooray.
Oh, how were the wings?
A little bit overpriced, but still pretty damn good.
Nice.
Would recommend.
Good to know. All right.
He's not mistaking.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that will release everyone else's salaries in due time. Honest. Just like, I'm still having the paperwork drawn up. I don't know where the CBA says in terms of when I have to release the salaries, but it'll happen. I promise.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Still trying to pay off that DP.
Just point us to the database and we'll just randomly type in names until we figure out what we want.
It's the best part.
I heard that Tony's making more than the rest of us put together.
That is such bullshit.
I know.
Hey, pictures or it didn't happen. Hey.
You know what? I know we've said it offline many times. But I'm going to say it on here. Fuck that guy. Okay?
Oh, no.
That's right. That's right. He doesn't even listen this far anymore. And we're only 2 minutes in.
Oh, very true. On this week's show, well, we're going to talk about a lot of matches because basically, you know, a tournament kicked off. So we got to talk about that. TFC lost a lot. So that feels comfortable and normal. BMO Field curse continues for AFC Toronto. A new Spygate has arisen.
Ooh.
Yet somehow still involving at least one Canadian player. Mm-hmm. Jesse Marsh is keeping secrets ahead of the World Cup. Ooh. And hey, if you haven't bought tickets for the World Cup yet, there's still hope. Just wait. No, really, wait. All this and much more. Now to this week's panel. Actually contemplating going to the World Cup. Please say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
Yeah. It is. Prices seem to be coming down and it's getting to the, this might work. You know, I could go see fucking Senegal and Iraq. Sure.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
So it sort of gets down to, you know, I think the sort of like hundreds dollar level, sort of roughly in that area. Then, all right, sure. We'll see.
I was genuinely hoping you were already announcing your plans to go to Morocco, Portugal, Spain in 4 years, but there's that too, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like that's a given.
That does sound like more fun. It's and that's also going to be another fucking Infantino production, though. So I'm sure it'll be. It'll be perhaps a little less
sort of
political nonsense and everything, but it'll be just as expensive and outrageous and what have you. This time he's got all of Europe right there to be buying, ready to be buying tickets.
Oh God, yeah. They won't even notice that they're being fleeced, or at least not at the same rate. Oh dear. Anyway, enjoying the lack of kit sponsors. Oh, wait, this is still a Duncan intro. No, please say hello in the NSL. Please say hello to Mark Hinkley.
Yeah, it's crazy that we...
How did we not notice?
In the best of our memories, we could not picture. And even the one I thought existed, I'm not sure actually existed.
I know.
Yeah,
but I swear nice. I saw it in person. Like when I went out east last year, I swear the shirt had a sponsor. And I can't be arsed right now to look it up, though I'm sitting in front of a computer.
No, it's fine.
Let's let the mystery continue forever.
But like it's just having the game on right now, the Ottawa Halifax match, and just being like, oh, They're just shirts with Canadian Tire on the sleeves, which is jarring on the Ottawa kit, but still, it's so nice.
Yeah. On the other side, I'm currently watching the Toronto WNBA game, and Jesus Christ,
oh,
those
God.
Shirts are awful.
Wait, do the WNBA jerseys have sponsors, or just in general you don't like
them? Lots of them. WNBA shirts, and it's not just the Toronto thing. They all seem to have
everyone in the league got like
league
front
thing.
And back.
Yeah, they've got a European soccer style front
gross.
Thing. They've got a it's on the back as well. It's like a Mexican soccer team. It's not quite full on NASCAR level, but it's like Mexican soccer teams.
Wow.
Yeah. There's sort of CIBC is the main one. There's also got like Sephora. Then I can't remember what's on the back. Is sort of like the Toronto ones. It's like, oof. Oof.
Indeed.
The actual player names. The actual player names. You can't read those. Those are tiny. But yeah. Hey ho.
Anyhow. As for me, I am just, I'm excited.
Oh, it's AT&T on the back of them.
Of course it is.
Sure.
That's why not?
Makes sense.
That's a good local sponsor. Sure.
Yep. Yeah. You need that. Yeah. Mm. Right here. Made in Canada. As for me, I'm just happy that I have a soccer match on while we podcast. It's so nice. I am your host, Kristen Knowles, and now to the show. All right. Well,
the tempo got to 67 points, and there's at least one kid in the audience doing the whole 6-7 thing. It momentarily made me chuckle.
That is chuckle-worthy. It's dulled off enough that the occasional reference to it is like, oh, cute. It's just not everywhere. It makes me much happier.
I'm just hoping that they're going to get a 2-point shot. I want to see what he's going to do when they get to 69 points.
Hold up a sign that says nice.
I don't know.
Yes, Mark.
Before you launch in, speaking of watching a soccer game, did you know that almost everybody in MLS is playing tonight?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know that somehow Atlanta, well, you know, fuck those guys, and Toronto were not invited to this goddamn party?
I didn't even look to see what the other team was. Yeah, I knew there was the only two teams. Yeah, because I was on the MLS site and I was, you know, looking to get match details for Toronto Charlotte, and I was like, scroll, what is happening? And I realized what the date was. I was like, why is everybody playing tonight?
What's May 13th? Is there a significance? Okay, no, I didn't know if it was like, oh, it's Landon Donovan's birthday anniversary game week. Like,
is this Lamar Hunt's birthday or something? Like, I don't know.
The only way I'll accept an Alexei Lawless one if it's followed by the word memorial. Okay, so just want to throw that in there.
Even that.
Mark Hinckley calls for Alexei Lawless's death. This is outrageous.
Well, you know what? Fuck it. I did.
That's my boy.
Not nearly as outrageous as Tony making more than the three of us. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. So much for the tolerant left.
Oh my God.
It's not like I'm making anything.
That's why we have to kill the rich, Tony.
Yep.
Well, yep.
Bitch, you're going down. You and Alexi.
Mark
in this episode,
just,
we chose violence.
Mark is building himself an enemy list.
Wow, I know. This is getting interesting. This could bring in all new sponsorship applications. Speaking of sponsors, Assassins R Us, non-squeaky shoe company. I don't know.
Non-squeaky shoe company.
You can sneak up on the person you want to kill.
Mm.
It sounded better in my brain at the time and probably should have just stayed there. All right, let's actually do a show. All right, what's been happening? Let's start with the really bad news, depending on your perspective, and that's TFC and their very bad week. It wasn't good, people. It wasn't good. In fact, It was uglier than expected, and it was expected to be at least partially ugly. Out of the two losses, the trouncing by the Atleti is the one that hurts, because they got their asses handed to them by the Campiel side from Ottawa. Oh, like...
Well, I mean, Ottawa's been a juggernaut this year. Nobody can stop them.
Well, that's the
except other teams.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, that hurts the most. We've been talking for weeks now how bad Ottawa is. Haven't been able to score goals. They haven't done anything like they did last year. Fucking Belu Tabla comes out of nowhere with a fucking hat trick.
Ottawa has only seven known weaknesses: Halifax, Montreal, Toronto, Hamilton, Calgary, Victoria, Vancouver. Otherwise, everybody else. The fuck got you. We should let them loose in Champs League. They're gonna fucking destroy every. Oh, we already did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, they didn't. Yeah. All right. So Mexican.
Nashville was too early. I think that's what it was.
What makes it worse is that Toronto scored first. They were winning. They were winning.
That's tense.
And that's the perfect time for, right, you've got a team out there with maybe one or two sort of regulars at most. That's the perfect time to take at least one of them off. Hey, you know, ooh, you got three defenders who, you know, nobody's got a clue who they are, what's going on, everything. Yeah, add a fourth, it'll be fine.
Oh, it was just... Yeah.
Alonso Cuejo's there. He'll lock things down.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
What a mess. So messy.
You'll do it to yourself.
Seriously.
Really hurts. I mean, fuck. Get the 2-3 goals and then put on all the children's.
Yes.
Mm. I'm all for the children's playing, but these guys aren't like awesome right yet, you know?
No. You barely know how to hold a lead. Like, your comeback game has been solid, but not perfected yet. Fuck's sakes. Ugh. Anyway. So, Toronto go down in flames in the first round to Ottawa, not the worst team in the CanPL, but certainly not a good team in the CanPL right now. Again, to a hat trick from Belu Tabla. Which delighted for him in any other circumstance.
He was a Barcelona, Kristen.
That's true. I don't know why I'm surprised. You are correct, Duncan. Mm. We should be honored to have been scored on so many times by a product of Barcelona.
Duncan, is that foreshadowing?
It wasn't meant to be, but I guess it is. Because
that was brilliant. From the ghost of... Barcelona B comes Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah, exactly. It comes big Barcelona. Big boy Barcelona.
Tabla scored more than all of them combined.
Oh, God.
Messi, Suarez, not as good as Tabla.
Nope.
Messi couldn't lace Tabla's boots.
Nope.
Also, I don't
scoring
know.
Goals with him.
I don't know if Messi knows how to tie his shoes, because I'm sure he's got three people to do that for him. But just that speculation. I've got no proof. But, you know, show me unless, you know, otherwise.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we do flash forward to Saturday afternoon.
Before we flash forward, can we talk about, like, after the game when, I guess, some players went to the sort of south end to applaud fans, and then it was basically just a whole bunch of like teenagers standing there as fans were yelling at them.
yeah. Classy south end fans. And I know a lot of you, I've seen a lot of you posting about this online, and the ones of you that are defending it, fuck you all. Absolutely fuck you all. Who the fuck do you think you are? Come on now. Jesus Christ. Like, unreal. These are children who had the class to come over to thank you for your presence on a shitty night after a shitty game when they know things didn't go right, which was largely not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
and this is how you treat them? Like, you, I don't know. I have struggled with the fan culture, in certain pockets of TFC fan culture or any fandom, but on, like, just cause I, you know, we've spent time together, we've hung out together, over the years, off and on, much more off these days, but like, where is your entitlement on this? Explain to me why this felt like a good thing to do to these particular players. I don't know. I'm just
all of those fans clearly know what they're capable of at TFC too, because they go to the games all the time
and support
them. So because they are so well versed in the entire academy system, they thought, my God, these guys should kill Ottawa, and they didn't. I'm disappointed.
That's not
how any of that shit works, because y'all didn't know half of them anyway. The entitlement is spectacular. Just spectacular. So how many of those kids were getting their first run out of the senior team?
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Just calm down. If you're gonna have your ire for anybody, it's the guy who's pretending to be the coach. The kids were fine.
I will say I have seen a lot of Robin Fraser out posts of late, but that's
He deserves to get out, but I think he deserves to be yelled at.
Sure, I do too. And I do too. I agree with both of those points. Anyway, yeah, that was a frustrating thing to see. There's lots of reasons to be mad at teams and mad at players. That wasn't one of them. I'm sorry. And I'm disappointed and pissed off that yet again, TFC aren't in the Voyagers Cup, because it's ridiculous that they're not. But that's not what makes me angry. Not one bit. Anyway. Miami. Let's talk about Miami. That'll be fun.
How can it get any worse?
Oh, you know, we haven't nowhere in here. Oh God, I realized when was the Ronaldinho? When was the
Friday night?
Friday night.
Oh, the Ronaldinho thing, right?
Yeah. So
it's like 30,000 people went to that.
Oh yeah, it was massive. It was huge atmosphere. But I do want to shout out like every former TFC player that suited up for that, that came out for that. They all looked like they were having a great time, whether in condition or not, some more than others. The crowd, everyone I've talked to or seen posts about, just it, those matches are fun. They are really fun to go to, because you get to see all, you know, the players that you like, right? You get to see, like, you have memories and you get to see famous players, and everyone's out there having fun. You know, that stuff is good. But what I didn't know, and I didn't know until I saw, like, they did like the starting 11 pose or whatever, right? Robbo was there. No one tell me that Carl Robinson was going to be there? I may have changed my mind and gone.
Wasn't he coaching or
assistant? No, he wasn't playing. No, he was. I had no idea. I don't know how I missed that. Probably because when I decided I wasn't going to this, I tuned out on it. I was like, oh, Josie will be there, and Seba, and, you know, some local players, and, you know, Adrian Khan was there, which was delightful and funny. They were all just having a grand old time. So, but I had no idea that Robbo was involved. I'm glad he was, but I sometimes think he gets forgotten about in the overall TFC-ness of it all. But yeah.
Yeah, he's got that Vancouver stink all over him. And
fair. That's fair. But anyway, so the next day, perhaps the team was hungover. I don't know. Maybe they had too much fun at the game and after the game partying. I still don't know. But it wasn't good, and it was a lot of goals, which I believe we did discuss that it was going to be a lot of goals. It was very ugly for long stretches of the match, in that TFC were having their asses handed to them by Miami. And then at least, you know, Aristobal got a couple of goals back. That was nice. That was good. We like that. He's having a good, he's having a good couple weeks at least. You know, the match we went to, he was the best player we saw. He's scored some goals. He's done some nice things, but everyone else struggling. Well, you two watched more of the game than I did.
To be fair, there's a lot of injuries. You know, sort of George Michael,
a starting Sargent, 11 of injuries.
Larea. There's, you know, there's a lot of good players who would, like, you know, difference makers within the team are not there. So there's definitely somewhat excuses to be made. But and TFC were never really in that game. But they weren't that far out of it until that second goal was, comedy. Just, you know, top class villainy from Messi and Suarez, and
it was fantastic.
All that, I think if Suarez is going to score a goal, that's how he should do it. Absolutely,
He looks magnificent. 16 feet offside, except there's a corpse in the corner. Yeah, so he's onside.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, God bless you.
That is such a Suarez goal.
God bless you. And Messi was going right there as well. It wasn't just Suarez, Messi's evil villain as well. But I honestly enjoyed that one. After that, it was okay. Once it got down to 2-0, it was okay, this is game over, and it was very much easy. Got to 4, and then we pulled it back to 4-2. Ooh, wow! But I guess Messi scored a goal, got a couple of assists. The crowd went home happy. So
yes, yes, I did see. So because I was working, I was working at a Union Station, and we get tons of spillover. Like whenever a soccer game is over, I always know because I see the scarves and the kits and stuff going by. Of course, on Saturday, it was almost all Miami or Barcelona kits with Messi on the back. Including one, and because he was a child, I did not snort derisively at him, but full kit wanker, Miami Messi kit, everything, socks to shoes.
That's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, you're a child. I will not say anything, but I'm going to glare at your parents.
Grr. Sounds like Kristen.
Yep. But yeah.
It's fun. My nephew and my brother went to the game, and
that's right.
Yeah, they were sending me pictures like before the game and after the game, and they were selling a half and half scarf. I'm sure you heard about.
Oh,
this.
I'm well aware. Didn't I send you the scarf? I thought I sent that to you. Yeah,
yeah, that was like official club merchandise, not just random. Oh, people inside.
That was a for real thing. Yeah. Did someone get? Did he get you one?
I think he did, which I'm going to treasure forever. Okay, everybody can shut the fuck up. The kid's gonna get me some football merch. I'm going to love it, because he thought of me. But he did get one, and I guess the way he had it wrapped up, it looked like he was wearing a Miami scarf, and I guess they nearly got thrown out of the section.
Entertaining.
I thought I mentioned that, but obviously, whatever. They did not get thrown out, but I guess they got accosted by the security. You know, that's the game you really want to crack down, guys. Good job.
Mm.
But anyway, to the earlier point, what Duncan was saying, like, Toronto was not dead adrift in this game. They looked like they had the majority of the chances in the first half, up until and including when Miami scored. Like, they were more in this game.
No, they had momentum early from the looks of it, yeah.
Like, they looked really good and pretty dangerous, and Miami looked kind of like they were on, like, neutral. They were just coasting down, like, they weren't doing anything. So I think the scoreline is, it's weird because it's, if you didn't know any better, it shows that Toronto was actually in it. if you knew how the game went score wise, you know that's a lie. But like in a weird kind of full circle, it kind of reflects probably how that game should have gone in, except the goals, the goal distribution being a little more, you know, generous to Toronto, looking like they were in it throughout the game instead of being down 4-0 and then, hey,
let's put some effort into this.
Let's try. but hey,
but what if we tried?
Six goal thriller. I'm not surprised by the scoreline. I was just surprised that Toronto didn't actually score one in the first half because they looked like they were really close. So anyway, that's about my thoughts on this. But you can't hear it. It doesn't, microphone doesn't pick it up. A fairly big shrug. Oh, well,
okay.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Dance. Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. Okay. Sure. Right. Fucking 9-game homestand. And wouldn't it be 2 or 3 of them here or there? And you're barely hanging on to a playoff place at this point. It's like, okay, yeah, nothing's happening this season. I mean, maybe, you know, post World Cup, you'll get a bunch of injured players back and something will happen again. Unlikely, but I do not have hope that, oh yeah, this season I'm going to do anything. It's been more entertaining than the last few seasons. It's had that at least. But yeah, nothing's happening, and you lost the game, whatever. Yeah.
Yay, positivity. Woohoo. All right. Well,
feel the passion.
I do. I really honestly, if you could just settle down just a little bit, you're getting a little riled up and just
outrageous crazy hometown bias. Good Lord.
God, remember when we had that? Yes. Remember when we actually had that? Oh, we were so biased when we were young.
In sort of further, you know, sort of Luke and Steven old men updates, Luke Wildman wearing glasses this time. Okay.
Oh.
Yes. I guess he's given up on trying to pretend that he doesn't need them. And
I bet after the initial discomfort, he feels like a weight has been lifted because now he can see, he doesn't have to stress about it. You know, it's very freeing accepting who you are sometimes. Yeah, he is indeed a man who needs glasses.
Indeed. I kind of presumed, all right, you know, maybe you take them off to do your TV bits and then you put them on again so you can actually see the game and read the team sheet, the substitutes and everything.
Yeah, but that gets annoying.
Yeah, but even like just for the, you know, pre-game or halftime bits, right, you know, you don't really have to be paying attention to anything. I mean, I don't know, maybe what do you call those things that feed you the words that you're supposed to say? Yeah. Oh, the
teleprompter.
Teleprompter, there you go. Thank you, Mark. Talking of getting old. Maybe the teleprompter words are getting too small and everything like that. Who knows? But anyway, Luke's in glasses now, so hooray.
All
right. Well, Lisa's vision's no longer poor.
Aye.
And and now he can read with some quality.
Is this gonna say he's got some quality vision? Oh dear. All right. The Voyager's Cup kicked off last week, as we know, starting with the ridiculous loss. Not ridiculous. The resounding loss of Toronto to Ottawa. And a bunch of other games happened. Not as many upsets as we wanted, but there were some. Mm. Including, I guess, the Ottawa-Toronto one. York Six, knocked out by Saint-Laurent, which actually is not a surprise. Just based on Saint-Laurent's history, they remain a very good team, even though a lot of them were scooped up to go to Supra. That's just, again, this is This is Sigma in Quebec is what this is, basically.
Yeah. And this suggests positive things ahead for Supra. If they, all right, we're going to limit ourselves to just Quebec players. This suggests, all right, there's still some decent ones left behind that are coming up. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
That, yeah. St. Laurent B is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine having your players getting pilfered like that. I mean, maybe it's happily, maybe there, you know, there's a little more of an agreement there. And now it's, all right, how are we going to make do? Oh, no, it's fine. We got this. Thump. That just makes me want another two teams in Quebec. I don't want one more. I want two now. I want another for St. Laurent. Just St. Laurent and Quebec City. Let's just put three and make Supra, weaken Supra right away. You know, you can't have all the French players. Gonna have to share.
So, but what the, one of the things about this particular match, other than the fact that it was the Quebec Junior, what do we call the Quebec League? Because they're not the Quebec Premier League.
Quebec Major Junior. The QMJHL.
Yeah, I know that's immediately goes into my head. I revert to hockey league names, but
the QMJSL.
Yeah, know? Whatever the that's, Quebec that's... version, the PQS. I don't remember. Anyway, that's terrible. I should know. Anyway, but it's nice to see. I do enjoy seeing that. And they beat, you know, they beat York Six at York Lion Stadium. But the funny thing about this, or the interesting thing, or the cool thing about this, like, York Six were trying so very, very hard to win this. 34 attempts, 13 on goal, all saved by St. Laurent keeper Martin Cantona.
Cantona?
Are we saying
Eric's nephew?
Right?
Is that Cantona?
Of course it is. I was waiting for Duncan. That took Duncan way too long. Anyways, he's Eric's nephew. He's Eric's nephew.
All right.
Right now, Duncan has a favorite goalie.
Fuck that guy then.
Fuck Saint Laurent into the crowd.
Fuck that guy. Fuck that team. Yeah, no. Nope. Okay. No. I mean, I should, you know, there's like a villainous, what have you, blah, 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 blah. I should like Cantona, really. But no, fuck him. Fuck everything about that guy.
I honestly, I don't know why I expected a different response, even a little bit. But yeah, no, I love that you don't like him. That's fun.
Does he give poignant quotes after the match? That's what I want. I want them to be like as pseudo profound, but make even less sense.
Seagulls and trawlers and all,
yes,
that sort of
exactly.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, let's continue onwards. And because I did move forward just because I was so excited about Saint Laurent winning and such, but Supra, who, you know, they've had a decent start to the season, but they've stumbled a little bit. So they needed a victory, and they got one. 3-1 over the Woodbridge Strikers. Nice bit of business for Supra, who, again, should have won this. But Woodbridge is a good Ontario, League One Ontario. I just can't call them. It's the Premier League. It's so fucking weird.
We know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Nobody's paying us. They're paying.
I know. Tony. I know. To use the right names.
Say it right. Fair. So, Tony, either you fucking give up your money now, and we'll play by the rules, you greedy sack of dicks, or we're just going to call everybody however we want to, like we always have, you greedy hump. Ooh. Anyway, go on, Kristen. What were you saying?
Thanks, Mark.
No problem.
But anyway, it was. It wasn't a surprise that, you know, that at least the Strikers got a goal. Looked like they gave them a bit of a test, but Supra were the better side, and so they move on in their first Voyageurs Cup. Congratulations to them.
I mean, hey, I'm just happy for Woodbridge. You know, an Italian team actually qualified for the Cup. Well done, guys.
Fucking burn.
Well done.
Oh, magnifique, Duncan.
I mean, in a weird way, so did, you know, super harsh. Qualifying as well. So, you know.
Super Italian?
A lot of Italian people involved.
Okay. All right.
Large Italian.
Whoa, yeah. Whoa, whoa. You can't have a cup with two Italian teams. That's too many.
Yeah. That's too many. Never mind. We'll just stick with Woodbridge. And then, Mark, do you want to tell us about your exciting match versus Halifax?
Yeah, why not? Let's do some of that. So, yeah.
Because you were there. I was very excited. You got to a Hamilton match.
Totally fucking there. I just want to say that as amazing as the new keeper that Hamilton has, I worry that he is going to fall apart, and here's why. Boredom. He doesn't have fuck all to do for most of the game. He like makes one save and makes an entire feast out of it, which he deserves because he's bored. I don't know how they got defensively better. I don't know if everybody's just gotten a little worse. I'm in denial that somehow Hamilton has become tactically, defensively just austere. Like, they've become so rigid. And I don't want to believe it, because it's like they're more or less the same fucking team as last year. And they didn't win fuck all. So they came close, but they didn't win fuck all. Halifax had so little going for itself. I feel like the majority of the game was played in the midfield and in their end, Halifax's end, the entire game. Let's see. Borges was doing Borges things. He scored a beautiful curling free kick goal, top corner. Poor Carducci. I will say poor Carducci. Here's a couple things. One, Hamilton supporters seem to think, yelling and beaking off at Mark Carducci is like a thing, like he's terrible. He's still the second best goalie in the league. Last year he was the second best goalie in the league. And then that goalie left and Hamilton got a new, better goalie. But that's the funny part. He's still a very good team. Just nobody was helping him out.
Right.
He didn't, I don't know if Carducci couldn't have done, he saved the penalty. Let's start with that. He made a fabulous diving to his right save off of right from making it 1-0 fairly early. But then it was a bit of magic, a little bit of luck, and a lot of no help. Borges scored off a curler. There was a ball whipped in from the side that kind of just went through everybody. And I can't remember who scored it, but it was one of those that looked like he poached it from going, like he stole the goal from whoever crossed it. Right. But watching the replay, that was going out. So he caused the goal from happening instead of a goal kick. Borges then got onto like a cross that kind of scooched through a bunch of people, and he slid tackled it into the net and at like within the 6-yard box. Like, who, you can't fucking stop it unless you're standing in front of him. It was pretty fantastic watching Forge just dissect Halifax for whatever they were doing. But
I mean, it's nice when you get to see your team do fun and mean things to another team.
For sure. I kind of wish it was Calgary, but you know, bigger
fair, fair.
Halifax doesn't deserve it. Regardless of how good or bad they are, they deserve it. But alas, the weather was looming. Like, we knew it was going to, like, threats of thunderstorms in the second half. Like, that was on the forecast. We knew that was a possibility. At 2-0, the clouds were getting darker and darker and darker, and I turned to my soccer partner in crime, Mary, my wife, and I told her, when the rain hits, the first flash of lightning, or Hamilton scores the third, we're going to go. We're leaving. Like, I don't need to be in this, and I'm certainly not going to fucking wait around if lightning hits. I'm not sticking around for an hour, however bloody long it takes for a weather warning to piss off. But then they score the third, and then it feels like 2-3 minutes later, Hamilton scored the fourth. And that's when I felt like the first big drops. Like, let's go. And after watching the highlight package, we missed nothing in the last 30 minutes.
No, at all. You did very well.
Yeah, I managed to get all the juice out of the orange. And I didn't have to keep squeezing it for the last little bits.
Think how much juice you left behind that everyone else didn't get to see. If you'd stayed through the whole thing, Mark, that would have been like six or
Six
seven.
goals. Yeah, Mark, look what you've done.
Counterpoint.
No.
I didn't cramp my hand squeezing the shit out of a dead orange for 30 minutes. And however long it took for the delay. Like, we went to a restaurant, got served, and saw the sun come out before I think the game resumed. So it was the delay seemed to be substantial enough. I don't know if it was like half an hour or 45 minutes, but anyway. A hell of a performance. Hamilton looks really good. But like again, I'm not entirely certain if Hamilton's really good or the teams that I expect to be also really good are just
Not right
middling.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying it's going to be an easy league. That's nonsense, but I'm looking for the challenger to emerge, and I haven't yet to be convinced there is one. And again, I'm not saying Hamilton is fucking awesome because they've had a lot of 1-0 games, which is not an indication of excellence. Some of them very late. An excellent team doesn't wait to the 87th minute to score the game-winning goal, which is also the only goal. So, but yeah, apparently we get to play Super's Leftovers, and I'm not happy about that.
I
But I get to
wouldn't be
sing to
either if
Cantona
I were you.
for
Yeah,
Duncan, so.
we'll talk about, because they did release the Voyageurs Cup second round matchups, well, and like dates and stuff
Nice.
earlier today. So we'll get into that a little more deeply. Especially the quick turnaround between legs, which,
What?
except for one, which is ridiculous, but anyway.
Less what?
Yep.
Significantly less what?
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Oh, Aquaman. You make me sad. So the Aquaman lost to Calgary significantly. Although it did take a while, I'll give them that. They came back and they hung in, and then they lost 3-1. And that's sad. So painful. I don't know what to do about this team. I don't know what can be done about this team. It's just yeah, it's tough to watch Pacific do anything right now, because it's generally not good. They're just not, I don't know, they're just not a good team right now, and they unfortunately lost resoundingly to Calgary. It wasn't just that they lost, it's that they lost quite significantly to Calgary. And yeah, I didn't see any of it, but made me sad. However, on the happy side of things, just as I forgot that all the MLS teams got knocked out of the C cubed. So, yay!
Yay. Go to Luka.
Seriously, go Toluca. Exactly.
I saw the end of it last night. I'm like, wow, they thumped the shit out of them.
Oh yeah, that was like, it was like, ha. Oh, you think you're cute? You won in your little stadium. Congratulations.
Haven't done fuck all yet.
Here's some pain, and here's some more pain. Oh, and a little bit more. It was hilarious. I admit, I did enjoy that quite a lot. I didn't care nearly as much about the Tigres Nashville result, which, fair play, Nashville, they kept that series close, right? Like, so, but yeah, no, that was fucking hilarious, is what that was. 4-0. Just
Nice.
like, it was like they weren't even there. Oh, so funny.
I'm sorry, I'm just sports watching in the background here.
Yeah.
Montreal versus Portland is on like regular TV, so sure, I'm watching that. What's his
Oh.
name? What's his name? Longstaff is apparently with Montreal now.
Yeah, he's been there
All
since he
season,
left
probably.
Toronto. That's where he
Yeah.
went.
Okay. I didn't know that, but all right.
Oh
Good for
yeah.
you.
As much similar to how he became a bit of a social media feature for Toronto FC, Montreal's been using him in some of their stuff too. It's just
Okay.
come up on my feed, and I was like confused at first because he was wearing the wrong kit, and I thought it was like a throwback thing. No. This was current, present day Matty Longstaff doing some sort of social media whatever for the Snowflakes. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I
Good
know.
for you, Montreal.
Yep.
Picking
Yep.
up like TFC's
Leftovers.
trap leftovers. Yeah, well
Yeah.
done.
I guess, like, good on him for continuing to be able to play and have a career, though. Like, I'll give him
Yeah,
that.
sure.
Even
Yeah,
if he's playing for
absolutely.
them. But yeah. So, Aquaman just not good. And also, I question him not starting Alejandro Diaz, the coach for the Aquaman. Like, why would you not put your goal scorer out to start? Like, why is he not starting? Do you not want to win this game in your home stadium,
Never.
you weirdo? Like, I
Who
don't.
wants that nonsense? Yeah, I mean,
Apparently, not James Marinan.
that's just pandering to the fans. I do. Yeah, come on, have some respect. Be cool.
Yeah, be cool. Just be cool about this. Just settle down. Just, do you think they're watching? Wait, did they look over here? Are we cool yet? Yeah, it's a struggle some days to watch this stuff, quite frankly. All right. So Calgary 3-1, deserved winners, unfortunately. And then the Seagulls. It was a 2-0 win, but they did have to wait some time before they could get the goals past Langley United. Like, it was nil-nil until the 74th minute. So, like, props to Langley for just, throwing it back at them and not letting them run over them. Again, it is the Seagulls, but the Voyageurs Cup is kind of their thing. A little disappointed that this didn't have to go to penalties, but I guess the Seagulls could win normally like everybody else. But what's funny is that they both
Langley's where the Seagulls play, isn't
play.
it?
Exactly.
Do
Yeah, they both.
they share the same stadium?
Yes. That's the thing, is that
Excellent.
it's that, Langley United actually knows the pitch and everything probably better. Seagulls have been around for a few years now, but like the fan base for it just makes it very easy as a matchup, and as a all the fans are there. They're all just coming. They already go there every week, so they're just going to go there again. Interesting how they may have divvied up the stadium and such, but yeah, it's a good turnout. And it did take them, like I said, well into the second half, to get that first goal, and then to get the second goal, and seal it. But it was like interesting to like look at the highlights and stuff, and just yeah, see how competitive a match it was. And then you can see the frustration from Langley, because almost every yellow card is from them. It's just a lot of yellow cards from Langley United throughout the match. But yeah, congratulations, Seagulls, on your continued Voyageurs Cup supremacy, as it were. And here's how things look heading into the quarterfinal round, which all starts in July. So the first we've got, yeah, this is the weird thing. So we have three matches on July 8th, and then we have one match on July 13th, because why not? So the opening round, Vancouver, Calgary, Seagulls, Montreal, Saint-Laurent, Hamilton, and Supra and Otleti. And then the return legs, two of them are on July 12th, One of them is on July 13th. So like I said, quick turnaround from the opening leg, except for the Atleti and Supra, which is in August. Like fuck. It's a month away. I kept looking at it going, that can't be. No, that's yeah. Okay. Amazing. Wonderful. So, yeah, never change.
Character.
Yes.
Character. That's what this is. The Voyager
is character. As character. Okay. Fair. Anyway, so there we go. So that's been sorted. So come July is when, the two-legged quarterfinals kick into gear, and the Whitecaps, presuming they're still the Vancouver, well, I guess they will be the Vancouver Whitecaps until at least the end of the season. But who knows? Who knows? NSL, AFC Toronto. Oh, I suppose we should talk briefly. We'll talk about the adorable student match today. 15,000. Mostly kids.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely to see. This is why you should give your free tickets to youth soccer teams and not corporate assholes, because mm-hmm. a number of the players after the match talked about how fun it is to play in front of the children because they're so loud and enthusiastic. So, yeah. And also, 15,000 people. If those went to corporate assholes, there's no way there would have been that many people in seats. Not a chance now. Also, adorable student drawings of the players that were featured in various lockers beforehand. Delightful. Oh, and they won.
Woo! Hooray!
Huzzah. 1-0? 1-0, right?
1-0, yeah.
Dan, what's his name?
Nimick?
Maybe. I don't know.
I had the most perfect internet timing issues. So I missed most of the first half. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Okay. Would have been a good day to go to the fucking game.
It was nice weather at that time of day anyway. So that's beautiful, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, congratulations. Hamilton continues to have a lock on first place in the Campiel. And Aquaman still haven't won a match. Yay! But they've scored more goals than the Atleti, unless they're playing Toronto. And then that's all different. Good Lord. All right. NSL, Vancouver continues to be not good at all. No. Was ugly. And got uglier as the match went on versus
that's a shame.
Ottawa. It was like, oh no. Oh God, no. We actually turned it off. Because it was just that's enough. We don't want to watch anymore. Cause it was making us sad while I was trying to have a nice family visit with my parents. This was sad making. But yeah, it's DB Pridham with a brace. Congratulations, DB. And yeah, just Vancouver looked hapless. They looked confused. They looked disjointed. And that was just the first half. I didn't see the second half. So not good. Not good at all. And then Toronto. The curse lives. They've still yet to win a match at BMO Field and, in fact, lost 1-0 to Montreal. And yeah, it just, again, they didn't look, what I saw of it wasn't particularly good. I just really saw highlights because I was at work. But yeah. They're missing attack right now, having Esther Oronko out for what, 6 weeks, maybe longer. That hurts. But they just don't seem to have any flow in the final third. So, and Montreal can do no wrong right now, it seems. So it's interesting. But yeah, that curse at BMO Field. I saw someone do like sort of a, hey, so the curse, and there, some, one of the AFC Toronto players is like, yeah, I'm just finding out about that. But yeah, it's, well, I don't think they play there for a while. So maybe they'll be able to get some wins or something, score some goals for God's sakes. But yeah, so that was last week's adventures, which had left Montreal on top until this evening, during the early part of the recording of this podcast. Ottawa was playing Halifax and won tidily 2-0. And based on goals, they are now in first place ahead of Montreal. But both teams have 3 wins. Are just, yeah, not letting Ottawa's, I guess, I think, you know what? I think the Rapids have taken all of the Ottletti's goals is what it is. Because 12 good. Goals on the season so far.
Ottletti was hogging them anyway.
That's true.
Greedy.
Montreal, though, out of all the teams in the NSL, again, only 3 games played so far, but they've yet to concede a goal.
Which is also impressive.
I like that. So yes, this is where we are currently in the land of NSL. Toronto somehow clinging to third. Clinging. And they do not play this week. So there's a good chance we'll see them bumped further down before next game week. Let's move on to what we were talking about. And hey, it's another Spygate, and it's hilarious because it just feels like the old Spygate, only
a little more low tech.
A little less on the line with this. True. Mm. But Kyle Larin's Southampton, because that's how all of the headlines have been written.
That's the Kyle obvious Larin. Connection.
Yeah, exactly. There's the Canadian connection. Obviously, he brought this with him. He probably brought the drone in his luggage.
Yeah,
able to score all these goals.
This
right?
is what they paid the big money for. So he's exactly. got some goals. That's nice. But really, it's about the spying.
It's about the drone technology.
It brings the institutional knowledge.
The foundational awareness, yes.
Yes.
What's the best angles, Kyle? Yeah, it's so currently you would think that Southampton would just want to be concentrating on, you know.
Well, I think Southampton do want to be just concentrating.
Yes, exactly. On the final and potentially getting promoted and all of these things. But instead, they've been charged by the EFL for unauthorized filming. An independent commission overseen by a judge will determine the severity of the sanctions against the Saints. So yes, Middlesbrough, accusations flying. Oh, they're spying on our training sessions. And apparently there's proof.
I'm intrigued as to how long this is going to take before a judge actually decides punishments and everything. Because, you know, ideally you'd figure this out before the final. And
one would hope. Yeah. Like it's really fucking soon. If we could just move forward on that.
Mm. Is that how Southampton got promoted? EFL has nothing to do with them anymore. I guess we'll find them 2 points and
whenever they come back
in the EFL.
It's just like again.
To be fair, though, it's hilarious that it happened to Middlesbrough. Fuck those guys.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yes. That cannot be ever in doubt. Fucking
smog monsters.
Ugh, they're horrible.
Wow. Yes. What have you got against Middlesbrough, Kristen? I'm intrigued to see. You're kind of going along with this as if, oh, yeah, shit. I had
I've never read or seen anything about their fans. Or their team, but their fans specifically, that has made me think, these are a group of people I want to get along with. No, they all sound like assholes. I've just seen, again, it's all filtered through social media and articles and stuff, but I know enough. I have enough friends that are, you know, football fans and from the UK or both on both continents. And yeah, I've never heard a kind thing said. So I have thrown myself on the side of fuck those guys.
But Janino, Ravinelli.
Ravinelli, Middlesbrough. It's still shocking that such an incredible fucking player played at Middlesbrough.
I know he's no Bernie Slaven, but you know.
Oh my god!
Middlesbrough legends things. You know he's somewhat up there. But yeah. Anyway, but still, fuck those guys.
That was a pull, though. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. It's funny as shit that it's happening again, that there's a, you know, Canadian players starring for this team right now. So it's just like, it's too delicious in a weird way. But I also do hope they get promoted because, oh God, here we go. This is sincere because Kyle's been working his ass off to get that team promoted. So whoa, they better get promoted and they better take him with them.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I know.
What have you got against Hull? What have you got against Hull, Kristen?
No. We can't. Duncan, don't distract from the fact that Kristen painted herself into such a corner.
Yep.
She actually kind of, sort of, indirectly, maybe meant to say something nice about Kyle Aaron.
Yep. And that he should get to keep playing.
Wished for something nice to happen to Kyle Aaron.
Yeah. Mm. I know. Yeah. Like only the second time in my entire life.
I mean, it's going to be a Richie Larais situation, though.
Mm.
If they get promoted, they'll sign like two or three strikers, and Kyle Lowry's never going to get the pitch again.
He's never getting a minute.
He stays in the championship. All right, sure. Kyle Lowry can play.
There's been a whole ton of players that were like that.
I do feel, though, that Kyle Lowry has a higher pedigree than Richie Larais.
Probably.
You know, I think he's again, and that's not a knock against Richie Larea, but
he's scored a bunch of goals and everything, but he's very much a substitute right now. He's not even in the first team before they sign all their extra players to try and keep themselves up in the Premier League. He's done some things, he's made a little bit of a name for himself, I'm sure, after they've signed a bunch of players, they can sell him back to some championship team, you know, maybe Burnley or something like that. Tottenham will probably want to.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? He would look great in a Tottenham kit. We really would need his help getting back. Oh God. Mm.
That would be the best.
You shut up.
Portland did a score against Montreal.
Right. Was it Diego Chara? The ageless Diego Chara?
No.
Is he even playing?
I don't know who it was, but it was definitely Diego Chara.
That's too bad.
I can say that much. A Canadian playing for Tottenham, I mean, that hasn't happened since, Stoltieri? I mean, you'd have to get the Laren jersey at that point, no, Kristen?
I would not. But I would try.
Yeah, edit it so it sounds like she says I would.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
If I think about it.
No.
I would.
All right, let's move on from this then. And we will we'll report back next week in case they've actually sorted anything out. World Cup stuff. First up, we'll do the quick and easy thing, and that is that Jesse Marsh is not planning on releasing his preliminary roster publicly.
Did they not have to?
Preliminary roster does not have to be released to the public. to the media. Sure. It just has to be released. They just have to give it to FIFA. Here is the huge pool of players that's up to 55. That is our preliminary roster.
55. Jesus.
55, okay. Including at least four goalkeepers, before trimming the roster to 26 players by June 1st.
I feel like Canada could probably get there, but I mean, do like say Haiti or Curacao or Cape Verde have like 55 players they can put on?
I don't know. Maybe they start looking forward thinking and they pull from youth teams or something as a, here you go, here's a bit of World Cup experience. I don't know how it works. I didn't realize that the initial roster pool could be that large. I thought it was in the 30s and then they trimmed down, but 55, yeah. But yeah, he's not making the provisional lists public. It's not required. Jesse's playing his cards close to the vest, which will make the last few matches that Toronto play. Oh my God.
Toronto. Yeah,
no, because okay. I was looking at the match in Toronto and my brain just did that. The Canada play ahead of their first match, their first World Cup match on June 12th in Toronto at Toronto Stadium.
Ooh.
Toronto Stadium is so funny.
Is it rectangular?
Anyway, so it's an interesting little bit of gamesmanship, right? But especially with the very fragile nature apparently of half of the national team, and like, I don't know, do we want to have a deep discussion about Alphonso Davies and whether or not his career is almost over? And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that in a every time you blink, he is injured way. And his play is dropped off. Probably because he's always injured and trying to come back from injury, but like four major injuries in over a year.
I mean, I do feel like there's potentially a case of, oh, he's kind of like coming back a bit quick because, you know, there is a World Cup here and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they just take a large amount of time off and make sure you're absolutely fine before you start playing, and he may be okay. Maybe potentially, you know, he's just kind of fucked, and, you know, for the type of player he is, where, you know, it's all, he's very fast, obviously, you know, maybe that's particularly tough on his muscles, and oh, you get a little bit of weakness in there and they're just never going to be the same. I am not in any way a doctor, physiologist, kinesiologist, anything like that. But I think just did career over seems a bit much.
I don't mean immediately, but I feel...
Is he going to be the sort of electrifyingly sort of talented and fast and tricky sort of guy that he was like in his teens in the early 20s that kind of like got him to this point? Maybe not. I don't know. And then, you know, without that, is he good enough to, I think he's perhaps not going to be getting transferred to Real Madrid or whoever it was who was like talking about buying him. But, you know, I wouldn't be writing him off. I think it's probably unlikely that we see him in the World Cup, but I wouldn't be writing off his career as a whole.
I don't mean this year, but I feel like, so he's 25. He's going to be 26 later on this year, right? In like November, I think his birthday, late fall or something. And this is somebody that we expected to his career path to keep going up. Now, yes, he's playing for one of the best teams in the world.
Yes.
You know, certainly not hurting for, you know, promotion opportunities, salary opportunities, game opportunities when healthy. He should have access to really good medical care with an organization.
There are a lot of options below Bayern Munich. It's not good enough for Bayern Munich.
So many places he could go. No, he plays, like I said, I'm not saying no one would take him, but I worry about his propensity for injury. He gets injured all the time. He's not a starter anymore. And he's 25. And this is what I mean when I say, I don't think his career ends this year. Oh, by no means. But I think this is a player originally who could have easily, and maybe still will. Maybe he will take the time he needs and recover fully, which I think he should do, because he should be available for another World Cup cycle. He should be available for two, based on ability and the fact that soccer players have extended their careers, right? Like they many play well into their 30s. And I always considered Alphonso Davies to be one of those players, just based on pure talent and ability and seemingly passion for the game, right? Like he seemed like somebody who was just going to play. And maybe he is. Again, maybe he will recover from this, but I just, every time he plays for two games and he gets injured again. And so whether that's on the player or on the team, a little bit of both, you know, I understand not wanting to miss out on your on playing. We see it with athletes from all sports all the time. There is a, you know, there's a high, you know, competitive level to top tier athletes, right? They, and again, they have access to medical options, supports, ways to get through things that we don't, right? So there, you see top tier athletes play through pain and injuries that a normal person would not and could not, and that sort of thing. But it's just, it's a concern that I see someone who's already played so long, but who is just, every time you blink, gets injured. And I'm worried that this is going to have so much wear and tear on him that he will have to retire sooner than he wants to. Not that I think he doesn't have the ability. I just, this is my concern.
I mean, I think it's fair. I see the concern, like 100%. I can't imagine Bayern Munich is looking at him as a player for the short term, never mind the long term at this stage. And like he's always, as long as he's fit in whatever condition fit that may be, he will always be a selection for Canada, at least for the next,
oh yeah,
this World Cup, next World Cup, probably the one after that. But as far as like a career trajectory goes, like, you know, his next move is going to either be with a big team in a small league, or a small league in a big, small team in a big league. You know, he's either going to Feyenoord, or he's going to Empoli. You know what I mean? Like somewhere he'll get paid decent money, and, you know, from a exposure, look, see, I can still do it kind of
angle. Oh, I don't think I, yeah.
But like, as far as him being a, you know, AAA top tier, top 20 player on the planet, not if he keeps breaking down.
Yeah. Talking of like Feyenoord, like, I feel like there's been like, whatever reason, just in the last like week or something, at some point there've been a couple of things popped up there. So like Raheem Sterling, currently at Feyenoord, and it's like a similar kind of thing. It's like, oh, sort of really talented young player, he's got this and this going for him. Hey, and then, you know, there's maybe sort of injuries, it kind of like goes wrong a little bit, and what the fuck's going on with Raheem Sterling these days? He's just not getting it back at all. And it's like, it was going to be maybe a similar kind of thing. I think, you know, for players where like the speed and the trickiness is like really the thing. If they, you know, we just get a couple of injuries and you can't rely on that speed and trickiness anymore. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's a fair example. But I also feel like this isn't like, we're not talking obviously anything frontier. This is shit. This has been the trajectory for a lot of players who just hit an injury bug. I mean, Victor Vazquez, for God's sakes,
yeah,
was pegged to be the next big thing in Barcelona, at least at his position, and severe injury put him right out of that rotation, and he went to Belgium where he kicked a bunch of ass for a couple years.
Yeah,
like there's nothing wrong with that trajectory. There's nothing wrong with that move, but Victor Vazquez was never getting the Spanish.
Spanish.
He's never getting the Spain call up, but he's still got a career in front of him. Like, this is the thing. I don't feel like I think his stardom is doomed. I don't think his career is doomed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like he's going to be here unless he completely shreds whatever part of his knee, leg, hamstring that just the doctors and the surgeons go, there's nothing to attach. You're done.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing. Like don't be too shocked if he shows up at an MLS side near you in about 5 years.
Well, that was going to be my next thing. And then the inevitable return to MLS.
Don't come to Toronto.
Always come to Toronto.
No, I say that not because I don't want him to do good things. It's just like the move for Toronto to sign quote unquote stars and that somehow, the salvation of everything that's been missing when it's not. We don't need stars. We need grind. We need journeyman. God damn it. We finally got them. But like, we don't need guys on the end of their career. And unless he's coming in to teach a whole bunch of kids, and God forbid any one of those kids can make the Toronto first team and stay on the Toronto first team, then he will have been worth it. But like, I don't want him to come here for, he can come here for a payday. I don't really care. But I'd rather him still like chase actual glory, actual limits of what he can do to just go, you remember him? He still has that magic. MLS isn't a place where you can do that. MLS is just like, you are out of the, you're off the radar. Nobody's paying attention to you anymore. So I wish he was less injury prone.
Yeah.
Like everything about his meteoric stardom is fabulous and I love it. And I want to clone it 100 times, but like, it's like, it just seems like we're never going to see that fulfilling end to it. Like middle meaty part of his career where he's supposed to be at his greatest, playing against the greatest in the greatest league. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
I don't think it's hair. I don't think it's going to be there for him. Okay, so what's coming up? Yes, this is not Kristen talking. Her laptop is having an issue, and she may be joining us
later in the episode. I'm not sure. I think this is Kristen. I've heard Tony's impressions long enough to think, yeah, this actually sounds like Kristen.
Yeah. Spurs?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. See, that's, there it is. I want to. Nailed it's it. Been me all along. Books. So. I'm just gunning for plausibility at this stage. So, it looks like this weekend, Toronto FC are finally sick and tired of playing at home and decided to go see what things look like outside.
Ooh,
yeah, fancy. On Saturday at 7:30, they are kicking off against Charlotte. We kind of know what they've been doing in the last little bit. Because, well,
how have Charlotte been doing?
How Charlotte's been doing? That is an outstanding question.
No, it isn't. We don't care. Move on. Yeah, Toronto have been shit, and it's all falling apart.
Charlotte just lost 1-0 to New York as of mere minutes ago.
Well then.
So yeah, they're doing fantastic. Their team form is in the last 5 games, loss, draw, loss, loss, loss. So,
ooh, okay.
I don't know if this is the baby softness we were hoping for, but my God, it sounds great, doesn't it? they've lost to New York, draw Cincinnati, loss to New England, Atlanta, and Nashville. So, So this is looking pretty appealing.
It's doable. This is not good, Charlotte.
No, this is bad. Poor Charlotte.
It sounds like Kristen's maybe back.
Oh no,
she
that's
is
me.
Back.
Oh,
that's
hey. Me.
Oh. Kristen, we were doing a bit where I was you, so you have to be me.
You're doing a great job.
I think so. I said books twice and Spurs once.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are you okay? Sure. Do you need a
I'm,
hug?
I'm pretending to be Kristen. I mean, I am Kristen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kyle Lahren, how do you feel about Kyle Lahren, Kristen?
worst player, may as well be Satan.
Yeah. Okay. This is wow.
I hope he gets caught for cheating, even though he had nothing to do with the spying.
Legit. What? Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not that mean.
Spurs. See, like it's so easy to do this. No.
No. Continue. You're doing a great job on the Charlotte preview.
Thank you.
By
thank
all
you.
Means.
Let's just.
Players watch.
Players to watch. Is do an that. No, we have not gotten that far.
We did not get that far. No.
We're just laying the groundwork of dog shit Charlotte.
We're taking this preview seriously, Kristen. We're
you really
a lot
are.
Of
I was
in.
Impressed.
Yeah. We would be professionals if fucking Tony wasn't hogging all the money. That piece of shit.
Well, so it's interesting that, you know, they've had such a poor run of late when you sort of initially open up the players to watch and you're like, oh, look, they have some goal scorers. But then you also realize they basically have the exact same record as Toronto. They're 1 point apart. The goals for and against are very close. Obviously, this BL guy, BL's a bub, obviously. Pep BL.
That Pep sounds BL. So made up, doesn't it?
Zaha has only got 2 goals so far.
I know. I forgot Zaha was there until I saw that.
Played over 960 minutes. I think it's over 10 games worth of minutes, essentially. He's only got 2 goals. Time to call it a day, Zaha.
Yeah,
you're
honestly,
done. You're
seriously
done.
You've done good, Willie. Pack it up.
Yeah.
Took the money.
Yeah. For the record, Pep Biel is apparently his first and second name. Ooh. Pep Biel Master. Jaume. I don't know my Spanish well enough to Spanishify that.
Jaume?
Jaume? Okay, I accept that.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Archie Goodwin. He was there.
He's played on a lot of B teams.
Yeah.
But most recently, Zaragoza, Olympiacos. So.
Well, they got a player called Smalls.
Aww.
I presume his nickname is Biggie. Oh, Jesus Christ. His name is Tiger Smalls with a Y.
No.
Tiger
like
with a Y.
I feel like we went over this.
We probably have, yeah. Well, he's from he's English. Jesus Christ. All right.
Oh, he's just prepping for his grime career, basically.
Yeah. He's killing me, Smalls. He's killing me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, is this another...
Schnegg.
No XTFC.
That's a great name. David Schnegg.
Oh, that's that sounds a like an fabulous insult. Name.
Yeah. Well, he's Austrian. Yeah. Okay.
God, what a great name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. Of course, he's. Jesus, he could be standing for Arnie.
I forgot about the
Terminator favorite, looking motherfucker.
Favorite knockoff detective show, Bronico. Yeah, he's on here. Of all the shit talking I've done about Tony, hearing him say Bronico's name like a TV intro sticks in my head. Bronico.
Tim Ream. Man, I forgot he was there still, and still playing. Yeah.
Still going. Okay.
And playing regularly from the looks of it. So, which I guess isn't really a surprise, but Tim Ream. Talk about players playing into their 30s. He's like 38. Old man. Old man Ream.
But he's younger than Zaha.
Well, yeah.
Zaha, whatever.
It's crazy to think that Zaha's only 33.
Is he? I thought I'd say he's 39.
Exactly.
No, yeah, no, that does say 33. Call me Luke Wellman because the numbers are too small.
I was just
going to
say, okay.
I thought it said he was 39. All right, well. Yeah.
I wonder, is he playing for the national team? Does he play for, is he going to the World Cup?
Who, Willie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Strong question.
He's from Cote d'Ivoire, so. I wonder. Anyway, but Toronto in their very bad week, as far as I know, managed to not lose any more players to injury? Question mark.
There's some optimism in that.
That's the only
How's Raheem Edwards doing? I feel like he had to be subbed off after he got injured and then played everyone on side. He had to watch Beasts of Duff after that, so he's
that's a really good point.
He available?
Collar tug. I don't know, man.
According to Wikipedia, he's not. He wasn't in the most recent roster.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he has been called up in the last 12 months.
So well, that's what I thought. I thought he had played like maybe last year's Cup of Nations. I don't know. Yeah, I felt like maybe he'll get
the only if there's you know, I don't know, speculation or doubt in it. There's 9 other forwards on that last 12 months list, and there's 8 forwards on the current roster list. So he's got some traffic to weave his way through if he's going to make it. But I mean, he's a guy who's seen some things. That's definitely the type of player you would, you know, consider on the bench. Like, he'd be a bench guy at worst, I would think. But he's got.
But like, he's one of those players that you bring for this sort of
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's a lot of babies on the.
Yeah, exactly.
As forwards so. on that roster right now, so. So he would still have that veteran value to him. But anyway.
Anyway, just interesting just to see the whole see how that might play out or that sort of thing. So anyway.
I would pick Tiger Smalls, except he's got six games played with a whopping 57 minutes.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's clearly not. Yeah.
He's Johnny Vengeance.
He's not a big player for them.
Yeah. No, so I'm gonna go with Kerwin Vargas because I feel that name has haunted me before.
I'm sticking with Zaha. I feel like he's scored some annoying goals against Toronto in the past. And that he will do so again.
It's possible. I don't think I don't
know. Although Toronto
has he scored against Toronto? I don't know. But yeah.
I'm pretty sure when he played for Columbus, he did more than once.
Did Zaha play for Columbus?
Didn't he play for Columbus?
I feel like Zaha went straight to Charlotte. Didn't he win with MLS wise?
Yeah, I think that to be true.
What am I thinking of?
I'm catching up.
Who am I thinking of?
Good question.
Zaha. No. He was acquired. Technically, I guess he's still on loan from Galatasaray from 3 years ago.
So we need predictions for this game. Now, Toronto have only had 3 matches on the road. And I don't know, they had a whole host of different players because half the team's injured right now. So, and Charlotte, slightly better at home than they are on the road, but also not very good right now and just lost to the Pizza Rats day of recording. So Toronto also hopefully playing with a chip on their shoulder after the last week they've had because they've just lost 3 matches in a row when you roll in the MLS match before the V Cup match. So what are we thinking here? Comes a stalwart defensive effort or just another shit show?
They are not big on the whole scoring goals thing. So they've, in the last 5 games, they've scored 4 goals, 2 and then 2, and then the rest of them were zeros. So I'll go 3-1 Toronto.
Ooh.
I mean... Riff. Their defense is still suspect, so, and I don't think they're that good. But I think Toronto's good to give up one.
I'm gonna go. I feel like Toronto are kind of shit these days. Charlotte seemed to be shit these days. Let's go for entertaining, sloppy 3-3 banger.
Wow, I love it.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm not horribly mad about that. I feel like
that's the best we can hope for, really.
I was feeling two too. That's what was in my head. I just don't know that I can picture three goals from Toronto right now. But I'll go with 2-2. I'll go with a draw. All right, Campiel. Has had one game, obviously, today. They have chosen for Soccer Sunday this week. Ooh. Three matches on Sunday, all 4 hours apart. It's very civilized. 1 p.m., 5 p.m., 9 p.m. Stay up and watch the 9 p.m. matches. Yeah, you know, it'll finish a touch late, but, you know, watch the rest of it in bed or whatever before you have to get up for work on Monday, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that. I feel like, you know, you're leaving too much time in between the games for people to find other things
forget
to do. Yeah. Yeah. Make one finish, the next one starts like 10 minutes later. And, you know, keep people in there. And,
keep people engaged. Keep butts in seats, as it were. I see. All right. Well, we've got Atleti versus Halifax. Halifax, here you go. This is your redemption game. Aquaman hosting the York Six. Who knows? Aquaman will lose. And the Seagulls hosting Calgary. Ooh. Now, no pressure on the Aquaman. But that is the TSN match for this week. So there you go. Scintillating entertainment, sports fans.
I guess they can't play Hamilton every week.
No, they can't.
Nobody wants to watch that. Who wants to watch the Seagulls?
Exactly.
Not the Seagulls, the Aquaman. Who wants to watch them?
Also accurate.
Yeah. Fuck you, BC. Get your shit together.
Yeah, and while we're at it, fucking Tony.
Until you can get your shit together, get off our fucking TVs.
True.
Yeah. Find yourself some fucking regional broadcaster until you can handle the big time, okay? Yeah.
This game's at Starlight. I didn't know they were allowed back.
Yeah, this is one of the ones they paid for.
I kind of like the look of Royal Athletic Park.
I know. The other park is very nice. And it's not that Starlight's not nice, but yeah, the other one... I don't know.
I don't live in Victoria. I don't have a vote in any of this shit, but Royal Lake Park looks kind of sick. So
yeah. Maybe try that again.
Yeah.
And everyone just kept saying that the crowd was better there. And I was like, oh dear. Starlight's much of a pain.
Like, I don't know how many people live in Langford.
Langford.
But Victoria, that's a city I know has got more than 3-4 people and a dog.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I have been there. I have been there myself. So yeah. All right. I think I'm not even gonna do scores. Let's see. Halifax win. York Six. You know what? A dull draw between the Aquaman and York Six. And Seagulls beat Calgary for some unknown reason.
What?
I know.
That would be amazing.
I'm going to go status quo.
I mean, that's fair too.
Halifax, York, and Calgary all win.
Yeah.
Reasonable and likely choices.
I'm going with Dunk. All the away teams kill. So, Road Warriors for life.
Road Warriors for life. Oh dear.
Hawk and who? Seriously, what the fucking Legion of Doom's name? Something in Hawk.
Animal,
right, yes. How vague. At least Hawk was something fucking specific. I'm an animal of some kind?
Tiger, no. Water buffalo, no.
Chihuahua? Closer, yes.
After an 8-hour car ride, he goes, will you shut the fuck up and just be all of them?
NSL. So we already have one game tonight. Halifax trying to make up some ground, which they are so far successfully doing. They play again later in the week. But the main question is, there's two questions. Does Montreal have a guaranteed win against Calgary? Probably yes. Mm. And is Toronto using their off week to try to remove the curse from BMO Field? Because
exactly how are they going to remove the curse? Is this that? I can't remember which manager it was back in England. I think it was Barry Fry. I want to say a Barnett or Birmingham, maybe. He was somewhere anyway. And they felt there was some kind of curse and he just went round and urinated in each corner of the pitch.
Oh, God, I remember that. That's right.
So I hope that's what they're doing.
No, I hope that's not what they're doing. Oh, fuck, I'd forgotten about that. That does get brought up every few years. Someone will trot that out for some article in the Standard or something, right? Like, it's so funny. No, I don't know. And especially now that it's Toronto Stadium, is it worth doing anything? Or should they should probably just wait until after the World Cup and then reassess the vibes or something. I don't know. It's just concerning. But for Halifax fans, your good news is that Halifax second match of the week is...
And you said to do it after the World Cup. I think, you know, maybe like during the World Cup.
Get in there and try and remove the curse. Sort of
literally like halftime. Say some random game. Okay, and here's your halftime entertainment.
AFC Toronto starting 11.
I get a curse. And like piss in each corner of the pitch. Enjoy.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Halifax fans, they are playing Vancouver this weekend. So... much like Montreal should have a guaranteed victory over Calgary, one would expect, given recent results in the land of Vancouver, that Halifax should have this one in the bag. Also, they are playing at home, so that is in their favor as well. Those are just my guesses for this week's remaining two matches, since Ottawa already beat Halifax. We didn't talk about tickets at the World Cup. Do we want to? We want to talk about this next week.
The ones that just got announced? I feel like we kind of briefly talked about it at the start of the show. And
sort of.
Well, whilst you were gone, me and Mark again briefly talked about it.
Oh, okay, that's good. As long as you briefly discussed it, that's really the main thing I care about.
We decided we didn't need to briefly discuss it because we did it at the start of the show. Anyway, tickets are getting cheaper.
Yep, so just hang on. Don't do anything yet. According to Montreal radio host and former Apple TV commentator Jeremy Filosa, MLS clubs have been informed to expect an announcement regarding the relocation of the Vancouver Whitecaps to Las Vegas.
Bah.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me. That sucks.
And this is after there's a big summit out west with, you know, Montvic is there and reps from the BC government, the federal government. Like the Whitecaps, Vancouver, First Nations tribes, the MLS executive vice president. They're all out there right now having this big summit on the Whitecaps. And meanwhile, on the same day, this is the thing that came out via this guy in Montreal. So we'll probably be talking about this next week. Just wanted to put that in everyone's ear before we close the show, that this is likely. I feel like their fate is to be determined quite soon. So,
I feel like there's a guy on YouTube named Brody Brazil. That's his real name.
That's his real name.
He's a sports journalist. He currently, I think he's working for San Jose Sharks, but he's got a YouTube channel where he just kind of talks about the big, more like sports business news of the day, which I kind of like. So he's done a couple videos on Vancouver Whitecaps and the potential to move. And one of the things he brought up, which was super, super interesting, which I could totally see happening, is they kind of do the Austin FC bait and switch thing where it's like, okay, we're going to move the team, like we'll move the players, but you're going to keep the team. And basically MLS will end up making more money off of that deal than say moving the team cold and giving Vancouver a fresh new expansion franchise. Which it sounded like that is an outcome. So basically what ends up happening is two teams exist. Both of them kind of get a deal, but MLS gets more money from the two halves than they would from one whole. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the thing, because they're clearly, I feel like there's a lot of genuine, like legitimate business interest to keep the team there. Not just like fans, but like there are people with money who want to step up. But MLS has got this uncomfortable Vegas boner and they need to move it. They need to put a team there now.
Every fucking league has a Vegas boner right now. Of course. It's unreal.
The funny part is that I guess the guy who owns, I think it's the A's. He owns the San Jose Earthquakes, who are up for sale.
Jesus Christ.
And have been up for sale for like a couple years.
I didn't even know that.
Didn't know that either. But isn't it weird that a guy who's got a vested interest in moving sports teams to Vegas won't move his own?
That is
Yeah, there could be a lot more to it than that. Like the deal that they signed with the stadium means they're locked in for X number of years or whatever, which that makes sense. If you're going to build them a new stadium, you have to stay there. Fine. But I just thought that was a very interesting nugget of, oh, so there's some ways you can prevent teams from moving. Huh? Isn't that strange? Isn't that weird? So anyway, that's wanted to throw that out there. Cause it was a fascinating, like kind of dissection of what the options realistically could be for Vancouver. So
theoretically, all right, they lose their team and then they get an expansion team.
Something along those lines. Or like they get like Vancouver will stay, but they'll lose their players and they'll have to rebuild. Like I'm not sure how the whole deal actually shakes down as to like personnel or officialness of like what the franchise is. But long and the short of it is Vancouver Whitecaps still exist and continue, you know, uninterrupted since 1974, guys.
God, oh, the history.
History. That will continue, but
in a new MLS team called the
86ers. It should be the Las Vegas 86ers. That would be awesome.
That would be hilarious.
That would be the best middle finger I could ever
think of. That would be such a
God damn it, steal the idea. Somebody steal the idea. Do it.
Please do it. We give you permission now. This Never is mind. The best we take back everything possible. Else. Yet. It's fine.
We're going to take your team. We're going to call you by one of your previous names.
Thank you. Yes. Like that's wrestling heel turn.
That action. Is very that's wrestling
perfect
heel
for kick. Vegas. That's perfect for Vegas.
Ooh. All right. We've just solved this.
Yep.
Best right, outcome cool. for all.
I think so. I think that's the perfect note to end on for tonight. Please do join us next week when we maybe find out what happens with the Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll see if Spygate featuring Kyle Larin has been solved, whether or not TFC can plug some holes in their currently leaky boat, and whether Montreal keeps on top, Halifax can do some nice things, and whether the Aquaman can win a fucking game, which they probably can't. No, I know. I just keep hoping, you know, like power positive thinking. If I keep saying it, maybe it will happen this season. Probably not. Okay.
No.
That is our show. I have been joined by these two delightful gentlemen to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
No.
On the tweet machine at Kit Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast via Patreon, leaving a tip in the tip jar. Thank you. Or even just listening, we appreciate you. One thing I want to bring up is that I don't know if you guys have been following the drama that is the Scottish Premier League this season.
That's right.
But as of this moment, it can only be won by one of two teams, Celtic and Hearts.
Yeah.
Celtic.
Damn you, Alistair.
Stole the game in the 99th minute today, which they were heading for a draw, which would have
that was pretty dodgy.
Shit. Okay. I didn't see the goal, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You should go back and check how that game ended. Yeah.
I will check and probably rage. So I bring this up because we watch a couple YouTube channels. My wife and I, Footy Adventures is a great channel. The guy goes around to all the grounds in like Scotland, and he's covering like everything from the Premier League all the way down to like east of Scotland, Highland League, and beyond. He's fantastic. So because of that, we've kind of getting more drawn into the thing that is Hearts winning the league, which would be amazing, and I want this so bad. The final game
Hearts led the Edinburgh Rangers, but you know, they're a smallish team, so sure.
I'm not, you can't yuck my yum right now, Duncan. I'm going
to
say
okay. Yeah, sure. I absolutely would want Hearts to win this, yes. So, I still remember 1986. I think it was 1986. Crushing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I recently saw somebody had a video of like of that collapse. So, anyway, I bring this up because Mary said to me, like, we're going to take off for the weekend. And she's like, the game's at 7 a.m. And I looked at her like, how do you know this? She weirdly looked excited about potentially watching this game. So I may have finally done it, guys. I may have turned my wife into a football supporter. And I'm going to bring a Chromebook. And I'm going to hope to God I can get the goddamn game and watch
amazing.
It.
Amazing. I love this.
I wanted to share that with you guys and share it with everybody. It's only taken 13 years, 15 years, 16 years.
I feel like we're on the weirdest countdown clock ever.
Over 16 years. It's taken over 16 years. I've turned Mary into an ultra. It's awesome.
Because I was trying to think how long I have known you. So therefore, I was trying to like do the math as well. I've known you for this long. Therefore.
Oh, well, first it's like, well, we got married in this year. And it's like, but wait, I was taking her to Star Games when we started dating. When did we start dating? Oh, it was 2009. Oh, okay. So longer than that. So anyway. Yeah. Real-time math, everybody, is fun. Don't do it on a podcast. It's terrible. Terrible audio. Back to you, Christian.
Yeah, this will be lost. I mean, what? What will be lost? What am I talking about? Nothing. As for me, you could find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I've been your host, Christian Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.
Fuck you, Tony.
Yeah. Give us our money.
Pay us.
Just heads up, my laptop is about to die and my charger seems to be fucked, so
all right, well, good show. Let's wrap it up.
Land the plane.
I'm gonna try and get my laptop to charge and you guys continue, but I'll be gone for a little
TFC
bit.
TFC lose 2-0 to Charlotte. Mark.
Boys.
Yep.
Okay, I'll be back.
I was gonna say jump in whenever.
Yeah, yeah. Playing for Tottenham, I mean, that hasn't happened since, what's like, Stolteri? I mean, you'd have to get the Laren jersey at that point, no, Kristen?
I would.